Pymute, was a customs inspector in Skagway and served on Delegate Diamond's staff. When a group of us flew to Washington to promote statehood, we found him dedicated to the same cause in the Department of Interior. And when this great project was completed with success, we found him alternating in different important posts in the Department of Interior and Department of Commerce, always though with an assignment on Alaskan matters. Top recognition of his character and talents came with appointment by President Kennedy, effective May 1, 1961, as United States High Commissioner, Trust Territory for the Pacific Islands, an area of 3 million square miles known as Micronesia. I'm not so sure that that isn't the highest position that any Alaskan-born has ever been appointed. Well, as High Commissioner, he exercised full executive and legislative authority, and he was charged with the responsibility for carrying out the international obligations undertaken by the United States with respect to this Trust Territory. In the 5 years under his remarkable leadership, Micronesia emerged from grave economic and social difficulties to become a model of effective and intelligent territorial administration. And I think it's an indication of not only his competence, but also his persuasiveness, that no budget item during his administration was ever reduced by congressional action. Mr. Marshall, will you present Mr. Gotti? Morris Wilfred Gotti, honored son of Alaska, practiced in education and public service. Through your human interest, you have advanced the welfare of the people of your native state and of a vast oceanic territory. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws with all the privileges, rights, and honors pertaining thereto. Our next candidate for honors was our baccalaureate speaker of yesterday. I'm sure that all who heard his inspirational message on a kingly responsibility will be reassured that if we follow his leadership, our bodies will never get ahead of our souls. He was born in Killisnoo and now makes his home in Juneau. He graduated from the Sheldon Jackson High School in Sitka, and he received his BA and BD degrees from Dubuque University. As a minister in the Presbyterian Church, he has been recognized by selection as moderator for both Presbytery and Synod. And in 1965, he was presented the Christian Citizen Award by Sheldon Jackson Junior College for outstanding missionary service in Alaska. He served in many organizations and capacities, including chaplain in the Alaska National Guard, consultant for the Ford Foundation Educational Program at our University of Alaska, grand president of the Alaska Native Brotherhood, and he is now also on the State Board of Education. Our distinguished guest is a Tlingit Indian whose ambition has been to promote harmony, understanding, and mutual respect among the various cultures that we have present in Alaska. And his personal goal of assisting and encouraging the Alaskan Native in the understanding of his rightful place among the races of the world has won the confidence of all who have known him. My own life has been greatly enriched by the personal contact I have had with this great man. I think that John Stuart Mill must have had such as he in mind when he said, "The worth of a state in the long run is the worth of the individuals composing it." Mr. Marshall, would you please escort Reverend Sobolev? Walter Alexander Sobolev, distinguished native son of Alaska, humanitarian and minister in Christian Living. By your compassion for your fellow men and your vision of the place and opportunity for service, you have furthered the true meaning of brotherhood of man. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Humanities, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. Our next candidate is a renowned biologist and also a member of our own faculty. His soaring spirit has taken him to many schools and many lands. After a distinguished military career, he came to Alaska in 1947 as chief of the physiology section of the Arctic Health Research Center. He pioneered the establishment of both the Arctic Research Laboratory at Point Barrow and the University's Institute of Arctic Biology. He served as the first director of each, and he retired from the Institute post in 1966 to devote more time to research and writing, now serving as its advisory scientific director and professor of zoophysiology. He has earned worldwide recognition and distinction for his landmark studies of physiology in the Arctic environment, and his published papers have become milestones in Arctic biology. Perhaps his role in Arctic research is best summarized in his own words. "Through Alaska, men, animals, and plants have moved in the interchange of life between Asia and America, and the traces of history of this are evident, and their study will be important in preparation for eventual cultural and commercial relations between these two continents." For those of us who know him as a personal friend, his gentle spirit typifies the observation of the poet Goethe: "Kindness is the golden chain by which security and society is bound together." Mr. Marshall, will you present Dr. Irving? Lawrence Irving, distinguished biologist, pioneer in Arctic research. By your efforts and understanding, you have removed barriers to man's adjustment to our Northland, and by your kindly spirit have shown that the scientific process may be an enjoyment of life. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Science. and with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. Our next candidate is a learned physicist who has brought to the University of Alaska a wealth of experience, knowledge, and scientific curiosity. Born and educated in Australia, he was challenged with other parts of the world. From 1946 to 49, he was engaged in research on nuclear force problems at Washington University. In the following year, he was at the University of Birmingham, participating in the construction of a 60-inch cyclotron. From England, he went to the University of Ceylon as a lecturer in physics and leader of the cosmic ray expedition to the Himalayas. Then back to Australia as a senior research officer with the Australian Atomic Energy Commission, and then to the Antarctic in supervision of their geophysical program. It was most fortunate for Alaska that in 1961, our candidate had a Fulbright travel grant, and he came to the University of Alaska as associate professor of geophysics. He evidently liked what he found here, and the university liked him, for in 1963, he became director of the Geophysical Institute and professor of physics. His superior ability and fertile and creative mind has trained others and brought the search of truth into the practical service of mankind. Mr. Marshall, will you present Mr. Maeder? Keith Benson Maeder, distinguished physicist, renowned in research on all continents. Through your unlimited horizon and boundless energy in the pursuit of new knowledge, the physical mysteries of our world are giving way to confidence and understanding. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as president of the university, the Board of Regents, I confer upon you this honorary degree of Doctor of Science with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. Our next candidate's career has been concerned with what is Alaska's greatest industry and natural bounty, fish. His biography has already been outlined, so I'm going to identify just what I feel a few of the highlights. He prepared by academic training at three universities, and he made practical application of his knowledge with the old Bureau of Fisheries. In 1947, the first of his international assignments came when he was assigned to Japan under the Allied occupation. Senator Bartlett has written me about this candidate, and he says that throughout our candidate's subsequent years of service in the Department of State, he performed invaluable service for the entire country, and particularly Alaska, in ensuring that Alaskan interests were protected in international fisheries, negotiations. He has a keen understanding of the role international fisheries have played in the development of Alaska. So therefore, it was fitting indeed when President Johnson accorded him the personal rank of ambassador for international conferences and meetings on fish and wildlife matters. Having become acquainted with him the last few days, I appreciate the modesty and human outlook of this great man. And undoubtedly, this proceeds from his professional contacts. For as Herbert Hoover once observed, to a fish, all men are equal. Mr. Marshall, would you please present Mr. Harrington? William Charles Harrington, distinguished public servant, friend of Alaska. Through your wisdom and leadership, we have expanded our food from the sea in friendship and fairness to all nations. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents, the University of Alaska, I confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws, with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto. Our final candidate for honors has had a varied career, but each step has prepared him for his present challenging responsibility in Alaska. Trained first as an economist and then in law, he came to Alaska in 1949 as regional attorney for the Civil Aeronautics Authority in continuation of that field in which he has been most identified, aviation. The ability of his was recognized when he was brought back to Washington, but the challenge of private industry led him to the presidency of the Ozark Airlines in 1959. But again, this call of Alaska reached him, and he returned to our state in 1964 as executive director of our Alaska Public Service Commission. I welcomed this old friend and promptly transferred to him the job as secretary of the Rhodes Scholar Selection Committee, since he is the only Rhodes Scholar in Alaska. When disaster struck our state with the earthquake of 1964, and there was established the Alaskan Reconstruction and Development Planning Commission, our candidate was, of course, the first to be considered and tapped as its coordinator. I was mayor at that time of Anchorage, and it was my privilege to work closely with him and to appreciate his wisdom of decision and his determination of action. And his effective leadership naturally led to the presidential appointment, which he holds now as chairman of the Federal Field Committee for Development Planning in Alaska. Recently, I came across a verse which I feel reflects the character and personality of this great public servant. Sense shines with a double luster when it is set in humility. An able and yet humble man is a jewel worth a kingdom. Mr. Marshall, would you please present Mr. Fitzgerald? Joseph Harold Fitzgerald, honored in law, industry, and public service. Through the concept of service above self, and by the fine use of your practical skill, You have given leadership in adapting the physical and economic environment of Alaska to the betterment of all our people. So now, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, I confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws, and with all the rights, privileges, and honors pertaining thereto.
Remaining portions of our program this morning are Alaska's Flag, to be sung by the Choir of the North, and a benediction to be given by the Reverend David K. Fleisen, pastor of the First Methodist Church of Fairbanks.
The 45th commencement exercises of the University of Alaska will close with the singing of Alaska's Flag by the Choir of the North and the benediction by the Reverend Donald David K. Fleisen of the First Methodist Church, Fairbanks. Following the benediction, the audience will please be seated until the recessional of faculty and students is completed. Please rise for Alaska's Flag.
God, our Father, as this commencement now ends, bless those for whom its ending is but a beginning. Enable them to put their skill and knowledge to work in the building and the lifting of life, and never using it for destruction. Let their minds and hands be forces for the reconciliation of all peoples, a healing force to eliminate disease, poverty, boredom, fear, ignorance, and war. May each of their lives be a pilgrimage of faith, faith in you, faith in themselves, and faith in their fellow man. Grant unto each a dream of accomplishment, a dream that will sustain them in the darkened hours of life, a dream that will inspire them to work to fulfill their purpose in life. May God grant in all his fullness peace and love unto you both now and evermore. Amen.
And so we end the 46th annual commencement exercises of the University of Alaska, held this morning in the Patty Gymnasium in College, Alaska. KUAC has been happy and proud to present this special broadcast of the commencement exercises. And as we hear the processional in the background, played by organist Mrs. Charlotte Mile, we'll return you to the KUAC studios.